Bow our head to pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of this Bible study today. We thank you for the hand that you have stretched out towards us to bless and to draw us closer to you. Thank you for the various things that you've been bringing to us, even as we began to look at what God looks for in the vessels he uses. And what is it that attracts God to a man? We want to ask, Lord, as we go on today, you will yet give us understanding and give us space even to interact with you and interact with the Word of God. Lord, all our brothers and sisters, wherever they are gathered, those who are with us on the Zoom platform, those that have joined us on the YouTube, those that are coming along on their Facebook, on the Telegram, on the MixLR, those that are on the language channel, the Francophone, the Chichewa, and other languages, we ask that you stretch forth your hand and bring us a blessing. All those who have come into the study today with a cry in their heart for a divine touch, a divine visitation, Lord, they will not go back the way they came. You will visit them, you will touch them. And those that have other needs in life, the Bible says, God sent forth his word and he heals them of their diseases. We ask, Lord, that even now, let your word go forth. Let it bring deliverance, let it bring healing, let it set men free from every oppression, every bondage, wherever it is found, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word opens to us, we pray that you will actually speak to us simply, you speak to us clearly, you speak to us so that our faith may mix with your word and it will profit us. Thank you for hearing us now. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Charles. Now, I just want to take a quick rundown of where we are. If you have been following us, we have been studying what God looks for in his vessel. And for every one of it, every time, there is an outline that we are following. And the outline that we started working with last week is dealing with the stony heart. And that outline, we have spent time to look at it deliberately. I would like to remind you, we have gone as far as point number C on that outline. And we've been looking at what God looks at in the man he uses or in the vessel he wants to use. And we said the condition of the heart is very, very paramount in what God wants to do with any man. But beyond that, we have also come to note that God is the sower. Every soul, every man he wants to use, he must sow the seed of the kingdom life, the seed of his own word into that man's life. It is the word of God that can produce the kingdom life. There's no man that is naturally born good for God. There's no one that comes down with his natural native powers and he will be acceptable in God's service. All the people that God ever uses, he has to cultivate them. He has to cultivate his life in them. He has to cultivate his character in them. And this is only possible by the word of God. So we saw that the sower went forth to sow. And the seed is the word of God. We saw that the word of God is incorruptible. It endures forever. It never fails. And it can never fail. But now, where is the difference? Where is the matter? The matter is on which soil it has fallen. And we've been looking at these different heart conditions that determines how much we could benefit from the word of God and how much the Word of God can actually prevail with our lives. So we have looked at four kinds of soil that Jesus Christ highlighted in the parable of the sower. And we saw that it says some fell on the roadside. And we spent time looking at the wayside heart. Now it says some fell on the stony ground where there is not much earth, no much soil. So we have been looking at the stony heart. And we went far last week, and we're going to deal with the last bit of it today by the grace of God. Now, the other two hearts, the one that fell among thorns, we're going to be studying that in the course of our meeting in the coming weeks. We're going to be looking at the entangled heart. And then we saw the one that fell on the good soil, a prepared heart for what God wants to do. So, but last week, having gone through the outline, those of you that have your outline, you remember that we ended on point number C. He receives the word with excitement, but not with trembling. We saw that one of the trouble of the superficial heart, the stony ground, is that he could receive the word of God as if it is going to mean much to him. But because there is no trembling, there is no depth, the word of God cannot do much. In fact, as soon as the sun comes up, it scorches the seed and everything dries up, and the man becomes offended. So today, we are going to start, or today we are going to start by reading what God looks for. We are going to read from page 73 today. And then we now go from there and then go back to the point number 4, where we are going to start our actual study today by the grace of God. So I'd like you to turn to page 73 if you have the book. And I will be asking Sister Melissa to... is Sister Melissa on the platform this? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Please bring Sister Melissa up as she takes point number 3 from page 73 for us, just to help us refresh what we discussed in the course of last Bible study. Sister Melissa, please come on. God bless you. Yeah.
Hello. So point number 3 says, with gladness, not with trembling. The stony heart receives the word with gladness, not with trembling, not with contrition. He claps for the word. He shouts loud, Amen and Hallelujah, because he is thoughtless and because he does not weigh the implication of what God is saying to his own life. He sees it most of the time the way others will go through it. He shields his heart from obedience and decides to joke around the truth. That is the way of the superficial heart, which has no depth of thought because there are stones underneath. Mm. The truth is that there is a serious and definite implication the word imposes each time it comes to a man's life. God does not send his word to a man to joke with or toy with his life.
Mm.
The word of God is referred to as the engrafted word. More often than not, it needs engrafting, the cutting away of the native branch, the old nature, and the implanting, the imposition of God's counsel on our lives. James 1:21 in the King James Version says, Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It must not necessarily be with gladness that we receive the word all the time. Mm. For the thoughtful heart that decides to respond to this word, it is often a painful process that can only be done in meekness. But the superficial heart does not weigh consequences. It does not count the cost before responding. God's word is a sword, but not that of a gladiator. It is not the sword of an entertainer. It is the sword and it cuts. It is fire and it burns. It is a hammer and it breaks. I do not think the sword, the fire, or the hammer comes to smile with anyone.
No.
No. This is the major deception I see in many of our congregations today. Preachers are more or less entertainers, making the word to lose its desired effect. Brethren are made to jump up and down as they hear the word, but as they receive it, they almost immediately throw it up, vomiting it in a thoughtless show of excited affirmations. We do not allow men rather to take it in, process it thoughtfully, and belch with it in concerted prayer. This is one reason the word does not have opportunity to go deep into the heart and lives of many Christians today. Check your heart, dear brother. Pause to think, dear sister, how do you respond to the word? With excitement or with thoughtfulness? With shouting or with trembling? Have you become so superficial in dealing with God?
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's a very incisive reading that Sister Melissa has brought to us. And what we are seeing there is the fact that one of the manifestations of the heart on the stony ground is that it can receive the word of God with gladness, but not with trembling. And God said, this man will I look at, a man with a contrite heart who trembles at my word, not the one who tramples at my word. Now we saw that the superficial heart or the stony heart may shout. He may shout. He may do as if he's excited with the word of God, but that is simply because he has never weighed the implication and he does not understand the demand of the word of God on his heart and on his life. Now, God's word does not come to entertain people. The word of God can give us joy after we have obeyed it. The word of God can give you great liberty after it has worked on your life. It is not the shouting. It's not the jumping around. It's not as a preacher is preaching as if it's an orator who is speaking and everybody is excited that he has made a point, he has made another point, he has made another point. No. The word of God comes to sink in if it's given a space. The word of God is coming to be engrafted, which means to cut off the native branch, the natural thoughts, the kind of thing we do before, so that it can take root and begin to produce the kind of life, the kind of character that God desires. Because it's an engrafted word, it means it's going to cut out that which is not correct, that which is shooting out of your life that is not, you know, congruent with the will of God. The word of God comes to trim. Jesus said, you are clean by the word that I speak to you. Said the branch that bears fruit, my father prunes so that I may bear more fruit. So the word of God is God's instrument for pruning, for cutting a man to shape, for flattening out all the things that look like contours in our lives. So we say God's word is a sword, but it's not that of a gladiator. It is not the sword of an entertainer. It is the sword, and it cuts. The Bible says, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is fire, and it burns. It's a hammer, and it breaks. We do not think the sword, the fire, or the hammer comes only to smile with anyone. I would like to note that if your attitude towards the word of God is this superficial, you need to be checking, is my heart deep at all? Am I able to take it in, or I throw it out as soon as it comes? And that makes you to be unfruitful, even though you may have been hearing the word of God over and over again. So this We're not going to go from there. We're not looking at lack, that the superficial heart lacks roots in itself. It does not have roots with which to grow. If you remember, we have been in the book of Mark, chapter 4. We've read verse 3 up to that verse 17. But for this study today, I would like us to please go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Brother Mark will start reading that for us. And then Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. We're going to read it and we will ask a sister Priscilla. I think Sister Priscilla is the one joining us today. Sister Priscilla, you will read Colossians 2, 6 to 7. You read it first in the New King James, and then you help us look at it from Amplified Classic. You help us to read Amplified Classic. And then we will go to Ephesians 3, 17. Sister Melissa, you will again read that for us, either from the New King James, and when you are able to read Amplified Bible, it will be useful to us. Then we'll return back to Brother Mark. Brother Mark, you are going to... As I say, Mark, Brother Charles, please. Charles, I hope you have pardoned me today. Brother Charles, you are reading Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8 for us. And we'll go on like that until we finish. Let's begin by picking Mark chapter 4. Brother Charles.
Yes, sir. No problem at all. all right. Mark chapter 4, 16 and 17.
Yes, sir.
From the New King James, it says, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for only, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble."
Immediately they stumble. Can you try it for us from Amplified, sir?
Amplified Classic, sir?
Yes. Yes.
Verse 16, 17. "And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they heard the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves." No real root in themselves. "And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended. They become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away."
Fall away. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pick these passages as much as we can today. But the first thing I wanted to note is the fact that because they have no root, they have no real root in themselves, that's why they could not persevere. They endure for a little while. Then when the trouble or persecution arises on account of the word of God, and usually whenever God's word comes, there's always that initial opposition to see whether you can quench it, you can throw it away. And persecution arises once you begin to obey God's word, because the word of God is going to reposition your life and refocus your life, and is going to be contrary to what the world system has been pushing around. So usually, if you don't have root If the word of God has not taken deep root in your heart, you can easily be swept off your feet. You may even become offended. You become displeased, as if God has talked you into trouble. But all of this is because you didn't have root in yourself. Because the root of a tree is where the source of his strength comes from. Now we go ahead. Sister, is Priscilla on?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Thank you. Can you help us?
So Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, I'm reading it from the New King James Version, and it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And the Amplified Classic says, starting at verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, and being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving." Amen.
Right. Thank you very much. Now that's the second passage that we're taking for consideration, and we're going to pick it up very deliberately. But before we return back to it, I would like us to read the next passages that Sister Melissa is coming with, Ephesians 3 and verse 17.
Ephesians 3:17 in the New King James says,
"Yes,
that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." And then the Amplified Classic says, "May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love."
Love. Thank you very much. So now, before we pick up, because we're now going to read the Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1, but all of these ones, I want us to first keep them before we come back to deal with them, because they will be dealing with where to shoot your roots. But the first question that has come to us is the fact that what makes someone to be unprofitable in the Word of God, no matter how excited he is when he heard it, no matter the dancing and the jumping he exhibited at the point at which the Word of God is being cast into his heart, it will not, initial excitement does not bless you. It is as the Word of God penetrates and digs a root in your heart that you become profitable, you become established, you become fruitful in the things that God wants. Now, when God is looking at a man he wants to use, at a woman he wants to use, he wants to see whether his heart is receptive. And he wants to see whether the heart contains and carries sufficient soil through which God's word can develop its roots. So when we read the Mark chapter 4, and we saw that, yes, they received the word of God joyfully, and initially they were excited about it, but because it lacks root in itself. And I want to know that the root we are talking about must be the root in yourself, the root within your own life. Any plant that does not have root, its root in itself, and have its root in another plant, that kind of plant is called a parasite, and it cannot last. Whatever happens to the host tree on which it is parasiting will determine its own fate eventually. When you cut down the main stem, the parasite will only die off. And we're not looking at people who are only parasites on other believers. We're not talking about people whose faith is depending on someone else. Brother Paul said, I came to you with fear and trembling, bringing nothing but the word of God, so that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we are not talking about you being excited because the preacher who is preaching to you has a lot of good slogans, and he knows how to bring some words in symmetry, and it looks musical in your ears. No, we are talking about you going beyond the preacher to develop the root in your own life. That even if the preacher is no more there, the word of God that has been sown into your heart has capacity to keep growing, to keep multiplying, to keep fruiting. We are not looking for such persons who cannot endure, whose attention span, as far as the word of God is concerned, is so short. After a little while, the whole thing just dries up. Now, a man like that cannot hold the kind of mystery that God wants to bring to those he wants to use. A man like that cannot carry. He doesn't have capacity. And so you see the prayer that Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that Sister Melissa just read. Say, may Christ through your faith actually settle down and abide and make his permanent home in your heart. We are looking at something that's going to be permanent. We are looking at something that will settle down. It's not sifting up and down. It's going to abide. It's going to be, a continuous indwelling, but in your heart. He said, may you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Now, when, by the grace of God, the word of God has taken root in a man's heart, you see, you are no longer an environmental Christian. It is not the environment that is controlling your temperature. Your life is not dependent on what others are saying or doing. There's a root that Christ's life is shooting into your life, and you are getting it very personally. So I want us to please spend a bit of time at that Colossians chapter 2. Let's spend a bit of time there together. And if you have your Bibles, and particularly if you have the Amplified Version, I want you to come along with me. But even if you don't have, we can still discuss. He said, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with him and in conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted. So we want to note that for you to be useful, there has to be root. Your life must be deeply, deeply rooted. Have the roots of your being firmly. One thing about roots is that roots makes a man's life firm. When you are beginning to develop roots, you are digging down into the soil, and it gives you, stamina. It makes you able to stand and withstand storms and withstand anything that is coming your way. Say, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Christ Jesus, fixed and founded in him. all the men that became instruments in God's hand, this is the first thing they attended to in their lives. This is the first experience they had. Their heart is yearning to grow their roots into the Lord Jesus. He said, being continually built up in him. This is going to be a continuous experience. Any tree you see, any tree, the height of the tree you see on top of the soil is usually less than the depth of the roots that it has shot down. Actually, any plant that is going to endure, their roots are first and foremost developed downward in such a way that it can drag in nutrients to sustain and support whatever physical and vertical growth that a plant is going to have. Now, however, the Word of God says that you should have the root of your being. So the man with a stony heart, the biggest problem with it is that there is nowhere he can develop roots. The superficial heart does not have capacity to develop roots. And so it's always on the surface. It's always vague. It cannot think deeply. There are no depth of thoughtfulness, as we read from the book before now. So what are we saying that has made the heart on the stone, on the stony ground, what has made it unusable to God? It is simply because the heart has no root. All that God wants to use to change that life, to prepare that life, and to transform him to become an instrument, there is no space for it. There's no space for it. But I want to thank God again today that even if that has been your experience, I hear God saying, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you the heart of stone, the stony heart. I will take it out. I will break the fallow ground so that we can sow into where it will produce and germinate. Now, that's the first issue that we're talking about. And I want to ask, do you have roots? And do you have a space for the Word of God to break forth and bring results in your life? If God is considering you for something serious, he will have to deal with this superficial heart. Are you that kind of person that the only thing that excites you is something that is, shouting, and after 30 minutes, you are exhausted? God cannot deposit something deep into your heart because there's no space for it. You are going to lift up that heart to God this day and say, Lord, change my heart. Break this stony heart and give me a new heart that can carry what you are about to release into my generation through my life. You are going to pray that prayer with me today before we close. I decided that we are going to focus on growing your roots. That's why we left the Bible study at this point last week. I felt that the matter of personal roots is a matter we cannot brush aside. It's a matter we cannot treat lightly, because it is the root of your being, the root of your life, that determines how tall you grow in God. It is the root that the Word of God has carved into your heart that determines how much weight you can carry for God. How much weight of his glory will you be able to bear? How much body of service, of ministry, will you be able to carry? They all depend on your roots. They all depend on how deep is your root into God. How deeply rooted in Christ are you? before you think of running up and down, before you want to be on the television and on the stage, can I check how deep is your root? How deep is your root? As I look at the root system of plants, I find that any plant whose root at any given time is shorter than its outward growth, that plant is a temporary plant. Such plants, you cannot reap from them more than once. Actually, such plants, they die off with their first fruits. And you can see such plants all around you. If you look at spinach, or what you call the green veg, it takes only 3-4 days to shoot out. And why did it shoot out like that? Because it has no deep roots. And there's no time you can cut a spinach or the green veg more than once. It's only useful for once. Such a plant, like banana. Banana is wonderful. But if you look at the root is so small into the ground. And yet the stem is so tall. So you will notice that once it produces a bunch of banana, it's ready to die. The reason is because the root is so little that it cannot produce two times. So when you want to harvest that bunch of banana, just know that that banana stem is dead already. It's because the root system cannot sustain it for another time. All plants like lettuce, all plants like maize, or any form of grains, they are all in that category. You can never reap from them more than once. They die with their first fruit. If God wants to use you for an enduring service, an enduring ministry, if you hope to carry an anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life, and you carry it for a long, long time, and your life is going to be a blessing to generation of people from 1 year to another year to another year in, year out, you want God to use you. I want to say to you, the first place to focus is the root of your being, is the root of your life, is the root of your personal relationship with Christ. Say, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, continually. One thing I found with roots is that roots never stop shooting down. Even if you go and look at a very mighty tree, like cedar, like a big mango trees, those of us from the tropics, if you go down again and you dig around, you will still see that that tree is still shooting down its roots. Whenever a tree stops shooting down roots, then you start seeing the tip of it drying out. That's how it is. For me to remain fresh, for me to be a blessing all the time, and for my life to keep bringing freshness and fresh blessing to people who hear me, there's one thing I must keep doing. I must keep shooting down my root. I must keep digging down my root. I must keep, drawing from the eternal resources of heaven, but through my own roots in Christ Jesus. Now, before I go from there, he said, becoming continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith as you were taught. So this root we are talking about brings you to be more and more established in the faith. It makes you to be established, in the purpose of God, in the Word of God. Some of you have had good experiences. Maybe you went for a meeting and you had an encounter with God. And that encounter is so wonderful. But it will soon dry up. unless there's a root for it. Unless you dig it down and develop the root of it. People have good testimony. Oh, when I went, something happened to me. Oh, one demon was cast out and all of that. I thank God for all of that testimony. And we do not disdain any of such. But for it to become an enduring experience, you need to dig the roots of your own being into Christ Jesus. The word of God that brought you deliverance must be rooted in your heart. That's what will make your experience perpetual. That's what will perpetuate your encounter that God is giving you. If you are here today, God has touched your life. God has affected you one way or the other. And you have reason to give God praise. Some of you are even healed. But because you did not take time to dig your root, to be deeply rooted in Christ, when the wind blew, some of those things that were exciting to you began to fall out. It is not that they are not real. It is not that they are not genuine. They are very genuine. But there's one thing that you fail to do. You fail to deepen that experience by growing your roots. Now, every experience that God grants you is to help you grow roots. If you are not rooted in the truth, if you are not rooted in the word of God, if you are not rooted in Christ, whatever you have got will wither out. Will wither out. It will look as if you are one of these vegetable Christians, banana Christians. It will look as if, you know, you just appear to disappear. So this day, as we are doing this Bible study, the men that God looks for, the men that God wants to engage as his vessel, as his channel, the women that God will want to pour his power and life onto, he requires that they must have root in themselves. They must have root in themselves. But now let's pick the next two passages, Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8, and Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. So let's ask Sister Melissa to read Jeremiah 17, 7 to 8, and then Brother Charles, you will help us read Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. Then we will ask Sister Priscilla. She will come on James 1, 2 to 3. But you won't read that immediately. We want to first look at Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1 because they are pointing at something about the root system. When we come to the James 1, 2 to 3, Romans 5, we'll be looking at the trial that may come and shake your life, and it will not do you any wrong if you have roots. But let's look at where to plant your root. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Sister Melissa, please. Thank you.
In the New King James Version.
Okay.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit.
Amen. Amen. Now, please, don't run away. Take that verse 7 again, Sister Melissa, because that's the basis. Yes.
Okay, Jeremiah 17, 7.
Yes.
Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord.
Ah. So when we begin to talk about digging roots, the roots is first of all that you are someone who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is not just in the Lord. The Lord himself has become your hope. The Lord himself has become your very hope. Now, it is such men that are digging their roots. It is such men or such women who believes in, who trust in, who relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. Now, if you go with me to now read it for us from the Amplified Classic, verse 8, Sister Melissa, can we pick it from the Amplified now?
Yes, okay. I'll read 7 and 8.
Yes.
Okay. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaves shall be green.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
But its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit.
Amen. Amen. Said, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. When you have created room in your heart and you have trusted in the Lord, what we are saying is that you'll be like that tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. And it shall not see nor fear when heat comes. It's not bothered about heat. Its leaves shall ever be green. It shall not be anxious. It will not be full of care in the year of drought. Neither shall it cease yielding fruit. Now, when you grow your roots and you spread it, you know, into the Lord, when Jesus becomes your very hope, when you rely on the Lord, when you are not depending on the environmental excitement, and you take time to get yourself the root of your being into Christ Jesus, the result is that all year round, you are evergreen. The result is that even during drought, you will never cease yielding fruit. Even when thousands fall by your left and tens of thousands by your right, it will not affect you. What makes a man to keep standing where all others are falling is not their face. It is their roots. It is the root of a tree that makes it to last winter and come through summer and go through all the different seasons. It is the roots. Sometimes you see a plant, when the winter comes, all the leaves are dropped. Everything becomes brown. But that tree is still standing despite the harsh weather that has brought ice and very cold weather everywhere. Just let that period pass. You see it shooting back. What is making it to shoot back is the root. It's nothing else. Trees that have no root in themselves, they die with winter. In fact, they are just swept away because there's nothing to sustain them. And when you are looking for a life that will stand and stand and stand and stand for God, it must develop root in himself. And I'm dealing with this day because God is about recruiting people all over the world. For this end time move of God, for this outpouring of the Spirit that God has been talking to us about, for this Rehoboth that God has been speaking to us about, God is saying, go and raise disciples whose hearts are deep enough to bear roots in themselves. Go and raise men and women who has capacity to receive and contain what God is about to release in this generation. Now, brothers and sisters, let's check. How deep rooted are you in Christ Jesus? How deep rooted is your heart? How much can your heart contain? Now, Brother Charles, you are reading Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3 for us.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3, New King James.
Yes, sir.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Yes.
That brings forth its fruit in its season.
Its season.
Whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you very much. You see, that passage has brought us back again. How do you develop roots? We have seen now that those whose delight, whose desire are in the law of the Lord, in the word of God, who meditates on the word of God, on the precepts, the instructions, and the teachings of the Lord, who habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. That's how to develop roots. Casual readers of the word of God won't have much root. Intermittent reader will not have much root. This man, his delight, his desire, his appetite is in the law of the Lord. And on the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of the Lord, he meditates day and night. He does that habitually, not once a long while. He makes the word of God his companion. When a man does that, look at what the Bible now says, he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth his fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything it does shall prosper. It will come to maturity. It will not die young. So when we talk about, you know, developing your roots, we have noted that you develop your root by trusting in the Lord, by relying in the Lord, by making the law your very hope. Now we have come here again. You develop your roots into Christ by meditating on his word, by letting the truth of God's word become your delight. Any encounter, any experience you have with God, it can become permanent, it can become perpetuated when you dig the root of it. Don't just say, I listened to a message and I was blessed. Ah, thank God for that. Yes, I thank God for you. But for it to become a continuous experience, for it to become an ever-yielding fruitfulness, for it to become, you know, a perpetual plant that produces fruit in its season, season after season, season after season, is coming forth. Now, for it to be like that, there's need to dig roots. And you dig roots by taking the word of God back and creating room to meditate on it, to gather all your thoughts around it until it begins to shoot down, shoot down, shoot down. He said, let the root of your being be firmly planted in Christ Jesus. This is what we read in Colossians. And we are back now in Psalm. And we are back in Jeremiah, and they are pointing at the same thing. Verse 3 said, he shall be like a tree firmly planted. Firmly planted and rooted by the riverside. By the riverside. Now, let's go from here and now look at how a firmly rooted Christian, how he survives, how he withstands trials. You know, when we read Mark chapter 4 said, the man receives the word of God with excitement, with gladness, with joy. But because it has no root in itself, when the persecution came, when the trial came on the account of the word of God, he became immediately offended. He lost the zeal, he lost the zest with which he was running. He became deflated. That's what happens when what you have heard has not yet been rooted in your heart. If we are going to help any man to become a channel of blessing and a vessel in the hand of God, then we must begin to train. How do you dig your roots? How do you get into God by yourself? How are you not going to be a parasite on others? Are you not going to be, pray for me, Christian, pray for me, Christian, pray for me, Christian, here? How will you stand out there holding God because your roots are being shut down in him firmly? This is what we're looking at particularly now. So let's ask Sister Priscilla to pick James 1, 2, and 3 for us. And Melissa, you will now come back with it to read Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. And then Brother Charles, you will help us now with 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 to 13. Yes, and I will come to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yes.
James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 from the New King James Version says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Amen.
Please go on reading until you get to the end of it. Maybe up to verse 4.
Okay. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing."
Okay. Thank you. That's James chapter 1. Verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. Thank you for reading that again. I wish you can repeat it again. Say, "Brethren, count it all joy." Can you read it again?
Yes. So James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, yes, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing."
Lacking nothing. So you see, we are rats. The trial that comes to the man who received the word of God on the stony ground, that makes him to fall away, that makes him to become discouraged and become resentful and become tired. The same trial, when it comes to a man that has root in Christ Jesus, the Bible said, it is a joy. And why is it a joy? It is that it has come to prove our faith and to bring out its capacity of endurance and steadfastness and patience. And when this is being produced in your life, look at what it said. It will have a full play. It will do its thorough work. It will make you entire. It will make you wanting nothing. So trials is not meant to cut you short. Trials is not meant to make you wither. The trials that come to you, if you have developed your root, was to make you entire, was to make you total, was make you complete, wanting nothing. But when trials come to a man that has no root in himself, oh my God, he withers immediately. And not only that he withers, he becomes resentful. He begins to even antagonize the word of God, because he says, "It doesn't work, it doesn't work." This word works if you have had a root of it in your heart. But when there is no root, even a little trial will just make you a rebel because there's no root in the word of God in your heart. Now, thank you. Melissa, Romans 5.
Romans 5, verses 3 through 5 in the New King James.
All right.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I just love these passages. It's very exciting to me that when God has found a man who is deeply rooted in the word, deeply rooted in Christ Jesus, deeply rooted in the love of God, our troubles only makes us triumphant. Our sufferings and the pressure and the affliction that may have come produces in us patient and unswerving endurance. It makes you immovable. It makes you, a formidable pillar in the hand of God. And such are the people that God needs. The vessel that God will use, he has to test him. He has to toughen him. He has to allow trials, he has to allow temptations to come his way so that he can produce patience, he can produce endurance, he can produce a capacity to stand without yielding. When a man has become like that, his character had been established and proved. His faith had been established. Even his joyful habit of living had been established, and the love of God is established in his heart. He loves God, not because of things. He loves God for who God is. Now, we cannot go further if all that is in your heart is this superficial, like a tree that does not have room to develop roots. There's no future. The biggest problem is that your excitement today will not last. We may even put you on the platform as if you're a man that will do something serious for God. When the wind of opposition blows, my God, you will just become withered out. So for us to produce men and women that God is longing for us to train disciples that God we want to work with, the need for us to talk about your root system. And roots, I want now to say, roots do not grow in the public. Roots does not develop in the public glare. Actually, limelight is a danger to root formation. Roots are grown in obscurity. Roots are developed in humid but very, very dark condition. Roots is not for show. Roots is never up. Roots is downward. There are many people that they cannot do anything in the secret. All their lives is on this platform. What people cannot sing and clap for them, they are not able to endure it. But if you are going to be a man in the hand of God, a woman in the hand of God, if you are going to be the kind of vessel, what God is looking for in vessel, he needs a heart in which roots can be formed, in which God can deposit his treasure, knowing that this root, this woman, this man has root in himself. And God, in order to make you actually the kind I want to use, he will allow trials, temptations to shake you, so that you can become entire, so that you can become, you know, complete, and you will be lacking nothing. Now, this is why the matter of having roots has become very, very critical. Now, let's ask our brother Charles to now read the 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. 1 Peter 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12, 13.
Yes, sir. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. New King James. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brothers. So we want to note that there is no one that wants to go and grow with God that must be shielded or excluded from trials, from temptations. And it is not to be thought strange. He said, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And do some strange thing happen to you. Trials is not a strange thing to a child of God. But to a man that has no root in himself, trial is so destructive. Trial will make him an offender himself. But as a child of God, whom God is training for glory, whom God is training for a future to reveal glory. Let me read that again. Brother Charles. Charles, please read it again from verse 12 to 13. It's such an important scripture that we need to read.
King James again or Amplified?
Yes, yes.
King James?
Or New King James, anyone you have.
Okay, Amplified Classic. All right.
All right.
Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice.
Yes.
So that when his glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph, exultantly.
Exultantly. Thank you very much, sir. It's not strange. Do not consider it as a strange thing when you are tried. It's not a strange thing. That's what God uses to reveal the glory that he has done in your life. Say, rejoice. That you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You may also be, you know, glad with a joy that is, you know, you will rejoice, triumph, with triumph exultantly. I just thank God for that. So, as we are talking about growing your roots, it is to prepare you as well for the needed trial. And the needed trial must produce patience in your life. And patience, when the patience have had her work, it will make you entire, to make you complete, to make you to lack nothing. Now let me read the final passage that I said it is my own turn to read. The final passage that is my own turn to read is the 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Let me quickly pick it up here. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes. Yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, if this is the way for anyone who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, if they will have to suffer persecution, it means what will make you to survive it, what will make you to victoriously go through it, is when you have root in yourself. So that's why the man that has a superficial heart that does not have root in himself cannot stand the test. He cannot become a vessel of honor in the hand of God. Even if trials and temptation will not come to you, Satan must come and try you out. You cannot be open to go and dislodge Satan in his kingdom for God, and he will not come and try you out. And if you have no root in yourself, if you are not deeply rooted in Christ Jesus, then you will become, you know, a casualty that brings disgrace to the name of the Lord. This evening before, I mean this day before we draw conclusions, and we're going to be reading our comments, I would like us to quickly ask Sister Priscilla and Sister Melissa. They will be reading for us. Now, under numbers D of our outline, that he lacks root in himself, under all the passages that we have discussed, let me ask Sister Priscilla to read that for us.
A superficial heart has no root. It has no anchor, no inner stability, no personal convictions formed through long, consistent engagement with God's word. Such a person depends on external influences, environment, convenience, popular opinion, or charismatic preachers. Like some plants that sprout fast but have weak stems and shallow roots, these believers look vibrant at first but cannot withstand storms, pressure, temptation, or even sudden blessings. Their faith bends with every wind, and their convictions change with every new environment. Wherever the word truly enters a life, afflictions and persecutions arise. These challenges come as the heat applied to such a life in order to test whether the word has taken root. The superficial believer endures only for a short term. When trials come, and or persist for a while, they become offended, discouraged, or claim that the word failed. However, the real issue is that the word never penetrated deeply enough to produce endurance. The stony heart is not a distant idea. It is a present danger for anyone who hears the word but refuses to let it break, bend, and reshape the inner life. God is not seeking loud responses, quick excitement, or a shallow agreement.
All right, thank you. So we have not finished.
Sorry,
he said, that. Yeah, you will come back again. The stony heart is not a distant idea. It is present with anyone. You know, I kept talking last week that sometimes what makes your heart stony is one aspect of disobedience that you want. You say, I don't want that, so I don't. And as you are doing it, you are hardening your heart. If you will not allow the word of God that you hear to penetrate, to break through, to bend and reshape your inner life, your heart will soon be dry. And it will be hardened. God is not looking for loud responses. And he's not asking for quick excitement. God is not looking for a shallow agreement. God is looking for a life that is willing to give attention. Yes, Sister Priscilla, are you back?
Yes, sorry. The stony heart is not a distant idea. It is a present danger for anyone who hears the word but refuses to let it break, bend, and reshape the inner life. God is not seeking loud responses, quick excitement, or shallow agreement. He is seeking depth, meekness, and root. If the word has only touched your emotions but not your will, if it has only stirred your mind but not pierced your heart, if it has produced noise but not obedience, then today is the day to ask God for a heart of flesh instead of stone. Ezekiel 36.
Thank you. Now, let me ask Sister Melissa now to go to page 75 and also now read for us the comment from the book, Have No Root in Themselves, under point number 4.
Okay, what a matter the Lord Jesus is dealing with here. They have no root in themselves. The superficial heart has no anchor, no basis, no inner source of strength. The word of God gains no deep root hold in his heart. There's no deep source of inner convictions on any matter. He is almost completely dependent on the outside. He looks around and bows to whatever is convenient. They spring up. They are taller and longer than their roots can bear. Look at the plants that fall into this class, such as maize, tomatoes, and spinach. They shoot forth 3 to 5 days after planting, but their stems are ever tiny, tender, and without any strength. They bend to every wind. Little storms uproot them. Too much rain washes them off. If the water level should rise above the normal, they are immediately choked and turn yellowish. Too much fruiting breaks their stem. Wow. Most of these plants die with their first crop. They do not survive beyond one time of harvest. Remember, the maize plant is useless after you pluck off its first and only set of fruits. Do you lack a personal root in God? Are you a maize or tomato Christian? Have you indeed grown a deep taproot that can stand the test of time, or all you have after years of being in church are mere fibrous roots holding lightly to the surface, unable to survive any little storm or even a load of blessing? Does much sudden blessing easily get you off your ground? Does every new environment change your conviction? Do you copy or follow every preacher that comes to town? Or do you indeed have any personal conviction based on your personal study of God's word over time that makes it difficult for any strange doctrine to blow you off?
Now, Sister Melissa, there are many questions that you have raised as you are reading. And I was just thinking that these are things that we need to ask ourselves to meditate on. The question that we are talking about, do you lack a personal root in God? Are you a maize or a tomato Christian? Those who die with their first crop. Have you indeed grown a deep tap root that can stand the test of time? Or all you have after years of being in church? A mere fibrous roots, holding lightly to the surface, unable to survive any little storm or even a load of blessing. There are brothers that if God were to bless them so much, the blessing will finish them. The blessing will break them. And if there's a mighty downpour, so much, we wash them away. They can't stand. Does every new environment change your conviction, brother? Since you traveled to that new place, you have changed. All that we thought we knew you with has dropped. And I wonder what's your explanation for that? No root in yourself. Do you indeed have any personal conviction based on your personal study of God's word over time that makes it difficult for any strange doctrine to blow you off? Melissa, please go ahead. I'll keep following you behind.
Are you sure of what you believe? Are you fully persuaded? Can you face any temptation, trial, or affliction because of your faith in the Word of God and still remain intact? Do you have any root in yourself? What you believed 5 years ago, what has happened to it now? When you change environment, does your lifestyle also change? Are you an environmental Christian? Pause and pray again about your kind of heart now.
That's what to do. And let's not rush at that. Pause and pray again about your kind of heart now. Because that is the challenge. That is the challenge. The fact that you are changing like a chameleon, it's only pointing to the fact that the root of your life is very shallow. The fact that little things changes your lifestyle, it means as if there's no root. Pause and pray again about your kind of heart now. Sister Melissa, please go ahead.
Mark 4:17 in the King James Version says, "And so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." The superficial heart may stand with the word, but for a little time. There is an end in view to the faith, the fire, and the fervor of the superficial believer. He will soon become tired and exhausted. It is clear that wherever the word of God truly penetrates, there must arise an affliction, a persecution, and a reaction from the old nature, from the world system, and from the devil. The scorching heat must come. No truth can be said to have been learned until the hour of trial comes and you are still holding the fort.
I think so. We cannot say you have learned any truth or that you have imbibed the truth until the trial on that truth has come and you are still holding the fort. There is no hope for a superficial believer. He stands today, but tomorrow we may not see him again. Whatever investment you are putting on a man with a shallow heart, it's a wasted because he will soon cast it away. We're going to be praying on this. Our sister, please finish that before we read the conclusion.
Will you be able to persevere and endure with God's word in the face of opposition? Will you stand faithfully with the word of truth? Many there are today who are offended by the word of God. According to them, it disappointed them. But what is the matter? It fell on the stony ground in the first place. No matter the initial zeal and gladness, unless you develop your root in Christ, the word will not bear any fruit in your life.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to ask Brother Charles to now return to our outline, and you can now read for us our final conclusion. This will be the conclusion for this particular chapter that we are studying. We have known now that a superficial heart is stony ground. There's no future. You will soon be offended. You keep changing from one wind of doctrine to another. Any new preacher in town has changed your lifestyle completely. And we're asking, do you have any root in your own self? Can God depend on you for anything? Brother Charles, please bring us up to read the conclusion.
Yes, sir.
The outline.
Yes, sir. Conclusion. We can see that the stony heart, or what we call a superficial heart, is a rigid, shallow, and unyielding inner condition, which cannot absorb or retain God's word. A man with such a heart responds to the truth with quick excitement, but without depth, meditation, or obedience. And as a result, the word never develops roots. When trials or persecutions arise, they fall away because their excitement is first and foremost external. Not any internal deep-rooted convictions. The stony heart responds quickly and loudly, but never deeply. It celebrates the word without submitting to the word. And when pressures come, it collapses because it had no inner convictions to hold the word steady. My Lord, can I ask you to pause and take a moment to reflect on what the Lord is highlighting in your spirit right now? Do you have deep roots in Christ? Are your convictions stable? Can your faith withstand pressure, change, or blessing? Without developing depth, perseverance, and personal conviction, the word cannot produce lasting
fruit.
My Lord. Only a heart rooted in the word, and in which the word of God is also deeply rooted, can endure, remain faithful, and bear fruit over time. If that is your situation, I will encourage you to pray and talk to the Lord at this moment.
Yes, sir.
Ask him to break every form of superficiality in your heart, give you depth, stability, and a heart where his word can take firm root. As we conclude this study, can I encourage you to examine whether your spiritual life is built on surface reactions or deep-rooted transformations? True fruitfulness comes only when the word is allowed to penetrate, break, reshape, and take root within. Without this inner work of grace in a man's heart, the initial joy will fade. Convictions will collapse, and the word will remain unfruitful.
Thank you very much. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
Now, that's the issue we're drawing as we conclude this Bible study today. Only a heart rooted in the word, and in which the word of God is also deeply rooted, can endure, can remain faithful, can bear fruit over time. I want to ask you to check your heart as we pray. The manifestation of the superficial heart that we have analyzed and highlighted, we started since 1 week now. But today we need to pray. But there's something I want you to do. Jesus said, I will take away from you the stony heart, and I will put within you the heart of flesh. God is willing to do it. God is willing to blast the rock so that we can reach the soil where your inner man can actually take roots. But he will not force you into it. He's waiting for you to present your heart and say, Lord, I need a new heart. You have seen vagueness in your life. You have seen superficiality. You have seen that you are excited, but your excitement doesn't last. You have noticed that you received the word of God as if it was going to benefit you. But after 1 or 2 weeks, it dries off. And you are wondering why. Your heart does not have roots, doesn't have soil where the word of God can germinate. You know, last week we were saying it lacks soil. And I asked the brother Mark then, I said, please emphasize that for me. And today again, I'm seeing the word of God coming back. And we're noting that a man who does not have soil, that has no root in himself, is almost going to be a waster of the grace of God. That temptation, trials will come, storms will come, is a normal thing. Don't count it strange. God allows it so as to release in you the kind of character, the kind of capacity that can bear the glory that will be revealed. I'm asking you this day to check your heart. What is your condition? And I wish you would take time to pray through. Point number 5 in our outline are the personal assessment questions. These personal assessment questions, I would like you to go through it by yourself. Because it's personal, that's why I will not be preaching it to you. I want you to go over it by yourself. Sit back and ask, do I find it difficult to accept correction? Even though you know that what the Lord is highlighting in your heart is true. When God speaks, do you argue internally or defend your own opinion? These are all parameters and indices of that hardness of heart. Is your spiritual life most emotional reactions rather than thoughtful obedience? Do you struggle to sustain quiet, reflective time with God? You're always shooting out without digging deep. I want you to pray about that. What personal convictions has the Lord brought to your heart, even as we go through this Bible study? And how do you want the Lord to help you? These are personal decisions I want you to make as we cry to God now. When afflictions come because of the word, do you remain faithful or you become offended or become disillusioned, become tired? Does pressure or persecution expose your lack of inner strength? What personal challenges have you come or have come to your heart in the course of this study? And what have you done or what have you decided to do about them? What prayer request is topmost on your mind now for which we should stand with you before the Lord? These are personal things. And when you go through it, you might want to respond. You might want to reach out to any of our contacts. The Lord is going to stand by you. But one thing I want you to do with so step forth your heart to God and say, Lord, I can see traces, indices of that superficiality. Break through, O God. Break my heart and make it new. Give me the heart of flesh. Take away from me the heart of stone. Don't allow me to waste the grace that you are pouring upon me now. Don't allow superficiality to waste the grace of God in my life. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Please call on God for yourself right away. Wherever you are, whichever platform you are following us in, whether you are not even seeing the picture, you are only hearing the word of God on your mixed LR, whatever it is, or some of the radio stations have hooked up with this Bible study and you are also being you are following by broadcast, can I ask you to pray and say, Lord, please help me. Please, Lord, help me. Help my life. Change my heart, O God, and give me the heart of flesh. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you because of what you look for in your vessels. Thank you that you are not hiding it from us. Thank you that you are showing us that one of the things you look for is not a superficial heart. You are not looking for excitement and dancing. You are looking for deep thoughtfulness, convictions, that when people respond to act, they are acting out of conviction. Father, we ask you that you will help us. As many as our brothers who are praying and asking you for a new heart, please answer their cry. As many as are saying, I thought I used to have this, but I don't know why it is lost and my heart has become hardened. This day, Lord, touch them. Some might be thinking that maybe their own is finished, as if the Holy Spirit has left them. But this day, because you have brought them to listen to the word of God, and their heart is yearning for a change, I now pray, oh God, that the spirit of the devil, the accuser of the enemy of the brethren, that wants to drag us down, silence him, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Cross the head of the serpent on behalf of your people. Lord, we ask you to help us to grow roots, to develop ourselves in you and in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Take honor and take all the glory at this critical point. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.